For some time, we have been considering a subject, and I'm going to review very briefly so that we may see where we are today in the subject. And that subject has been spiritual health. Now, that started so long ago, I think most of us have forgotten. But actually, the subject is spiritual health compared with natural health. To have natural health, you have to be born. To have spiritual health, you have to be born again. The story is told of a man, whenever he preached, his subject was, you must be born again. And somebody went to him and said, why do you always speak on the subject, you must be born again? And he said, because you must be born again. Having been born again, the next thing is the child was to place in the proper environment. And we saw that the proper environment for the child of God is as we are gathered in fellowship with the Lord in the midst. That's our normal environment. The child must also be given proper food. This is our food. And it has flavor. The psalmist said it had flavor. Ezekiel said it had taste. How's it taste to you? You like it? This is our food. And we saw that the important thing about eating is that one must eat regularly. That's the best way to dine. Eat at the same hour every day. I know it's hard. But I told you about that snake in St. Louis. I looked at this snake, and then I looked at the description. This snake is fed one rat once a week, Tuesday at 2 o'clock. Now that's regular. And we are to feed on the Lord's word regularly. Then we saw that to maintain physical health, we have to wear the right clothes. You're not dressed today the way you're going to be dressed in December. We dress according to the surroundings and according to the need. And we saw, especially from the book of Colossians, what our dress should be. The clothing, the things that we are to put on and the things that we are to put off. And someone has described it this way. If you see a snake losing its skin, at the same time that it's losing its skin, it's putting on skin. And as we put off those old habits, we should be taking on the new habits. Our clothing. Then we saw that we are in a warfare. And for that warfare, we need proper clothing. Ephesians chapter 6. But then the important thing about warfare, we must know who the enemy is. And in World War II, most of the soldiers in the United States Army did not know who the enemy was. To say nothing of the fact that they didn't know why they were fighting. And we have to know why we are fighting. We have to know the armament that we wear. Oh, we hear a lot about armament today. And it always amuses me why you keep talking about peace and at the same time building up more arms. How are you going to have peace when you build up more arms? What are your plans? What are you going to use those arms for if you want peace? And more important than even the arms and the warfare, we must know who the enemy is. And we saw that our enemy comes under enemies, I should say, three headings. The world is our enemy. And we defined the word. We saw from 1 John exactly what the world is. The flesh is our enemy. And we looked at that, Galatians chapter 5. Mark chapter 4, the flesh. Let me just say this. I mentioned it last time, and as I reminded us, I had occasion to mention it at one of the Christian missions in many lands meetings. And the devil is a third arm enemy. Which is the worst of the three? The flesh. Yeah, he is the worst of the three. And we discussed the flesh. And today we want to start a discussion of Satan as our enemy. And beloved, Satan is not a little fellow with a red uniform and a spoke in his hand coming at you with fire. He's too smart for that. He's a fine looking fellow. Very refined, cultured, and respectful. Now we want to look at it from this point of view. There are some 17 or 18 different names in the Word of God by which Satan is called. Now when God gives a name, it's for a purpose. The name characterizes or indicates what God wants that person to be. Remember he changed Abram to Abraham? An old tricky Mr. Jacob. Supplanter. Always trying to outwit the next fellow. And God changed him from Jacob to Israel, a prince. And when you read the end of his life, he was surely princely. There he is, blessing, Jacob blessing somebody, his 12 sons, and forecasting many things that we see today. And he changed others' names. And he has several names given in the Word of God for Satan. And we want to look at those names to get some insight into what Satan is like so that we might recognize him. Turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Matthew chapter 4. Make it Luke chapter 4, verse 2. That brings more near to what I have in mind. Luke chapter 4. Start at verse 1. Jesus, being full of the Holy Spirit, and returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. That's one of his names. What does devil mean? Slanderer, speaking evil of the next person, defaming the next person. And he's surely slanderous in this nation. Those backward, ignorant, uneducated, stupid Christians. That's the language of today. That's what they think of us. I've told you before and I'll tell you again. Big preacher in New York City. Big tall fellow. Chief pastor of one of the biggest churches in the community. I had a friend, we were going to school then, And I invited my friend to come to the gospel meeting to hear the gospel. He came two or three times. And then he said to me, "You know, I have come to your church, so you ought to come to mine." That seemed fair, so I went. And there this big, tall fellow, about 6'3", with these garments, you know, and that collar like a dog collar in reverse, you know how they dress. And he spoke. I don't know what he said. But my friend then introduced me to him at the end of the meeting. "And what church do you go to?" I said, "Oh, I go among those known as brethren." Mm-hmm. That's all. Later on, my friend said to me, "My minister wanted to know if you believe that foolishness." 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Already you know what I'm going to turn to. You mean he is going to a school of higher education and believes that foolishness? Now let's see who the fool was. Oh, I think I've given you the chapter 2. That's one. Now mark you what he said. Does he believe that foolishness? Now read with me chapter 1, verse 18. "The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." Do you get what I'm getting at? Does he believe the foolishness? "The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." He's the fool, not I. And there are a lot of fools throughout the nation today. And thank the Lord for the few of us that believe the foolishness. Aren't you glad you believe the foolishness? One day the difference is going to show up. But the devil is a slanderer. Some years ago, when Mr. Carter was president, and I firmly believe that Mr. Carter is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and his wife, one of the finest first ladies we've ever had. But you see, there's trouble when a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ gets into politics. And he had in his cabinet a certain lady, a woman. With all due respect to you sisters, stay where you are. All these women trying to get up in the world. They tell me that soon one is going to be president. And there was in his cabinet a certain woman. And you know what she said? "Our progress is being hindered by those Christians." Where is she today? She died of cancer of the breast. Thank the Lord the Christians are still here. Speaking evil of God's people. And wherever you find that, that is the work of the devil himself. Another name for the devil is Satan. And what does Satan mean? Adversary. Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. Our adversary. Our enemy. The one who is working against us. Job chapter 1, verse 1, first 12 verses. "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. There were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. And with all that, the man feared God. Most of the millionaires today don't fear God. They don't even recognize him. His sons went and feasted in their houses, everyone on his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. He was quite a nice man. A real father, interested in the spiritual welfare of his children. They had all that the earth could give. He was interested in their spiritual welfare. Let's read on. "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan was among them also." Mr. Satan was their adversary. "The Lord said unto Satan," our adversary, "where are you coming from?" Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, from walking up and down in it." The Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil." Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear the God for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge about him, about his house, about all that he has on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Put forth thou thy hand and touch all that he has, and he will curse thee to thy face." He's an enemy. And that's what he's daring us today. That God would touch us in such a way that we would curse God to his face. And that's what he wants us to do. Beloved, no matter how bad things get, do not lose faith in God. Satan wants us to lose confidence in God. Our brother has been talking about the blind man. Turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Did I say 1 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians. Oh, yes, here it is. Satan blinds people spiritually. That's his job. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. "If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in which case the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not." And I want to tell you, Satan is busy blinding minds. It's bad to lose your physical sight. As our brother said, it's a very sad thing. But to be blinded spiritually is even worse. I've had to do with some people that were blinded naturally. I think of one fellow. He was in love with a certain girl. His mother disapproved of the girl. And what do you think she did? A mother and her son. Because she didn't agree with the girl that he loved. And she got some lie. It was easy to get it in those days. Threw the lie in the son's face and blinded him. And I remember going to see him, and every time I went there, "Doctor, what about my eyes? What about my eyes?" I think of another lady, also blinded in the same way. "What about my eyes?" I said, "I'm going to wait for the eye specialist to tell her." It was obvious that her eyes were gone. And in a very crude, unprofessional manner, in her presence, he said, "Well, she'll never see." And to this day, I can hear that scream that she let out when she learned that she would never see. But worse than losing your physical sight is to be blinded spiritually. And Brother George and I have been talking to a certain party. You bear witness. You've never seen such spiritual blindness. You will quote John 3:16, explain John 3:16, and then she'll talk about something unrelated. Verses that the Sunday school children know and understand. Verses that I understood and still remember at age 4. You tell them to her, and you wonder if you're talking to the wall. I remember years ago, I was invited to California and Los Angeles, yes. For some reason, I don't know the reason, I don't know if I ever found out, the plane could not land in Los Angeles and had to land in Burbank. And I called up the sister, Brother Craig knows, Betty Turner. Why? Said, "Mrs. Turner, I was supposed to speak a message there. I can't get over to your house. They have landed me in Burbank. I just can't get there." She said, you'd have to know her to appreciate the way she said it. "Brother, you've got to be here. I got a house full of sinners here. They need the gospel." And as I said, you'd have to hear her. "A house full of sinners. I'll come and get you." And she came and got me, and I went to the house, and it sure was full. And as I recall, I spoke from John 3:16. And when I finished, I asked, "Are there any questions?" One lady raised her hand. I thought she was going to ask further about John 3:16. Her question was, "What are the thinking people in New York City doing about Adam Clayton Powell?" I never called the man's name. Didn't mention it. And that's what she got from John 3:16. And he was in the same situation that this fellow Condit is today. I speak John 3:16 and she's asking me about Adam Clayton Powell. Darkness blinded. Blinded by Satan, as we've just read. The God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. And he's still doing it. As I mentioned, Brother George and I have been speaking to this person. It might even be a couple of months. You present the plain, simple gospel, and then you get some unrelated statement, nothing to do with what you have said. Blinded. Bad enough to be blinded naturally, far more serious to be blinded spiritually. Revelation chapter 12, please. Another name. Revelation chapter 12. Verse 3. There appeared another wonder in heaven. "Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his horns. His tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. The dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, to devour her child as soon as it was born." Verse 7. "There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels." Verse 9. "The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan." Here he's pictured as a dragon. And what is characteristic of a dragon? Cruelty. Dragons are cruel. And Satan is cruel. We shall see some subsequent time. And he is the god of all false religions, all false religions. Cruelty. Young lady came to me. Oh, I knew her well. She was one of the nurses in the hospital. Had a nice husband. I knew him too. And they had 2 children. I knew them too. And she came this evening with tears in her eyes. "My husband says he's going to leave me." "Well, why would he leave you? He's a nice fellow. Why would he?" She was the JW. You know that? Now, I have not seen it down around here, but in New York City, they get out on the streets selling the Dawn and the Watchtower. "Her husband said to her, 'If you don't stop selling those papers on the street corner, I'm leaving you.'" I said, "Well, that's easy. The word tells you to obey your husband. Keep your family together." You know what she said to me? "Doctor, if I don't sell those papers on the street corner, I am doomed." Where do you think that came from? Satan. Satan. The dragon. Fearful that she will be doomed if she sells those papers on the street corner. Satan is a cruel taskmaster. Oh, I know that at first things look nice and seem nice. But remember, the honey may be sweet, but the bee stings. And that's what Satan does for you. Beware of Satan and his pleasant proposals. He'll get you into trouble. John 8 and 44, please. John 8. Verse 44. Another characteristic of the devil. "You are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning." "Abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." The devil is a liar. And do you know where he's presenting most of his lies? In the false Bibles that are coming out. More lies than you can imagine. There's one old Bible. I'm sure you, when I quote the verse, you know what I mean. couple came to the door, and we got talking. I said, how does your Bible read, John chapter 1? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was a God. I said, stop. You don't have the Bible, you have an abomination. And that's what they're doing. Every 2 years, a new edition of the Bible comes out. Be careful, beloved, what you read. I received in the mail about maybe 3 weeks ago. This man has issued a commentary on the Bible. When the Lord was here and he said, come unto me, he didn't mean it the way we think he mean it. He had a different meaning. It amazes me. What does come unto me mean? How many different interpretations can you give to such a come unto me, all that are weary? Well, this is not a new one. This is an old one. The Seminar of Five. Anybody here familiar with the Seminar of Five? Oh, my. These are five would-be brilliant men who have revised the New Testament to bring it up to date with up to date meaning. Again, it didn't mean what it said. Paul didn't mean what he said. Look how long ago he lived. And some man today is going to tell you what he meant. But Paul was as learned as any man on the earth at the time. And Paul knew Greek and Latin and Hebrew. And he wrote what he meant. And some man today is going to tell you Paul didn't know what he was writing. What utter nonsense. Be careful of what you read. A brother at the conference last weekend was speaking on the feeding of the 5,000. Brought a beautiful message. There is a famous writer whose books and commentaries are found in all the bookstores. And in some Christian homes I've seen these books. The Lord didn't multiply the fishes and the loaves. What really happened? There was one little boy there with his lunch. And when he saw that the fellow next to him had no food, he shared his lunch with him. And when all the people saw how generous he was, they shared their lunch with everybody else. If I were in the position, as they say, I would zap. To take God's holy word and so abuse it is a terrible thing. But that's the work of the devil, the father of lies. I've told you this recently, but I'll tell you again. Before I left New York, there was a fellow up there, and he called himself Reverend Ike. On two occasions, I heard him say, the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. He said, that's wrong. It's not the love of money, it's the lack of money. You know I'd be afraid to say that. Liars, misinterpreting the word of God. You're all familiar with that glass church out in California. He was asked to define sin. I heard him say this twice. Sin It's lack of self-confidence. Where did that come from? And his church is filled every Sunday and they're giving him money. We need to be careful to keep to the old truth. One day I'm going to talk about that in the will of the Lord. Old things. Do you know that old things are better than new? The air that we breathe is polluted, they tell me. It wasn't polluted when they came to this country back in 1492. Old things. My wife and I used to like to go to the old bookstore. Oh, I found some nice things in the old bookstore. Why, I even found in the old bookstore a book that I used in high school that we learned geometry from. Oh. And then in the old bookstore, I found another volume by Ironside, no longer published. The old thing. Sunshine is old, isn't it? Anything wrong with it? Old things. John chapter 12, verse 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Chapter 14, verse 30. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. Satan is the prince of this world. He's the number one man. And that's why the world is in such a mess. I like on evenings to listen to Channel 26. But even before 26, I like to listen to the Wall Street news. I have nothing on Wall Street. Know very little about Dow Jones and NASDAQ and all those fellows. But from what I understand, things are getting pretty bad in this country. The economy is very bad. The prince of this world. He's the leader of this world and he's leading it down. And wherever you see things going awry, the prince of the world is at the head of it. Children in school, such behavior. Oh, your wife isn't here. I understand she's got to. I'm reminded of Professor Harrow. For some reason, Professor Harrow didn't like freshmen. And he used to refer to them as brats. And I understand your wife has some brats in her class. As I mentioned this morning, my dad had 7 children, and none of us were bratty in school. He gave each of us the same lecture. The day I went to kindergarten, he gave me this lecture. Arthur, you are going to school. I may excuse you if you don't learn, but I will never excuse you if you don't behave. And I behaved all the way through. Because as we read in Proverbs, if you apply the rod of correction correctly, you won't kill the child. Apply the rod of correction to his seat of learning and you'd be surprised how much he learned. The prince of this world. Revelation 12, please. Revelation 12, verse 9. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. And he started off with Adam and Eve. Or perhaps I should say Eve and Adam. Because as we read in 1 Timothy, Eve was deceived. And that's what Satan is doing today. deceiving people. Let's look at it. Genesis, please. Genesis chapter 3. Deception and lies. Verse 1, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he's still subtle, tricky, untrustworthy. He said to the woman, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" He raised the question. The woman said unto the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye die." Notice that last expression in verse 1. Has God said, "Ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden"? Verse 4, the serpent said, "You shall not surely die." Where God puts a period, don't you put a question mark. God knows what he's talking about. He doesn't need any editor. He states his word as he wants it to be. Great deceiver. God said, "When you eat, you're going to die." Satan said, "You won't die." And you know that's what they're doing today? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Oh, no, God didn't. It came from some fire. I forget the name of that. What they call it now? The evolutionists? Thank you. The Big Bang. Do you know that even from a rational point of view, the Bible is ahead of the Big Bang? If you want to prove a proposition, the fewer suppositions, the better your proposition. What is the Bible saying? In the beginning, God. How many propositions is that? One. Now, if you have a big bang of fire, you've got to have a surrounding cooler area for the fire to cool off in. So you start off not with one, but with two. Which is the better? The book. Oh, beloved, cherish the Word of God. Take good care of your Bible. Don't let any dog ears form on your Bible. And in my home, and my children know, no book is put on top of the Bible except another Bible. That's what I think of the Bible. Sir Walter Scott, great writer, master writer. I'm thinking of the Sir Walter that wrote the Bible commentaries. There he was in his library, surrounded by books, and he was dying. His nephew came and he said, "Nephew, bring me the book. Uncle, which book? You have so many books in here." "There is only one book." "There's only one book. And this book has all that we need to know. And it's very up to date, you know." Oh, the Bible is up to date. Now, I've told you this before, and I'll tell you again, and I'm going to stop, and we'll have to continue with these descriptions of Satan, perhaps on Wednesday night. When I was in school, oh, by the way, now, every hand should go up. What is CPR? Well, what is CPR? A little louder, please. Cardiopulmonary resuscitation. All these things. All these words. always be careful of those sentences with big words.